Dear Talking About Platforms listeners, this episode is part of our special AI-generated series, exploring the key ideas and influential works that have shaped platform studies. Let's get started.
Welcome to another deep dive, everybody. And today we're going to be taking a look at Design Rules, Volume 1, The Power of Modularity by Carlos Baldwin and Gimby Clark.
Well, this is a classic.
It is.
This one's a foundational text.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, anyone who's studied platforms has come across this work. And it's really, I think, influential in the way that we think about platforms and modularity.
Yeah. It's interesting how they go beyond simply defining modularity.
Yeah.
They really dig into the mechanics of it, like how it impacts the design process itself, you know, and then also, you know, the ripple effects that it has on the entire industry.
It's like they give us a backstage pass to watch the computer industry completely transform.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
From these clunky early machines to the sleek and adaptable tech that we have today.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things in the book that really stand out to you as being particularly relevant for our listeners?
I think one of the most valuable things they do is connect design choices to economic outcomes.
Okay.
You know, they show how modularity doesn't just make design easier.
Right.
It fundamentally changes the game in terms of competition, innovation, and even who gets to participate in the market.
Okay. So let's break that down a little bit. So, you know, the book kind of starts out by defining, like, what is an artifact's design?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's not just about physical stuff, but also the function it serves.
Exactly. Yeah. They make this distinction between structure and function.
Yeah.
Which I think is crucial because it helps us to understand how two things can be wildly different in how they look, but still be substitutes because they do the same job.
Yeah.
Think of like a bulky desktop computer versus a slim laptop.
Right.
Totally different structures, but both capable of, say, word processing.
So for platform researchers, this is like a reminder that we can't just look at the technology itself.
Right.
We have to consider what needs is it fulfilling for users and how different designs might compete to meet those needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads into their concept of design parameters.
Okay.
So the specific decisions designers make about an artifact.
Yeah.
And these parameters aren't isolated.
Right.
They exist in this hierarchy where choices cascade down.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a decision tree where picking one branch opens up a whole new set of possibilities and constraints.
So early computers with their, you know, tightly interconnected designs, it was like navigating a maze.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
One wrong turn and the whole system could crash.
Exactly. Any change
had
the potential to break something else.
Yeah.
That's why early computers were so expensive and inflexible.
So that's where modularity swoops in as the hero of our story.
Precisely. Yeah. Modularity is about strategically decoupling those design choices.
Yeah.
Creating independent modules with clearly defined functions and interfaces.
Yeah.
Think of it like building with Legos.
I love that analogy.
Yeah. Each brick has its own purpose, but they connect in standardized ways.
Right.
Allowing for countless combinations.
So for our listeners who are building platforms, this is a key insight, Race.
Oh, yeah.
It's about designing systems where different components can evolve independently without breaking the whole thing.
Absolutely enables parallel development, faster iteration.
Right.
And it lowers the barriers to entry for new players who might specialize in just one module.
Right.
This is where the industry really starts to explode in terms of innovation and competition.
So they give some great historical examples in the book, you know, like the IBM standard modular system and the legendary System 360.
Yeah, right. The SMS wasn't about the computers themselves being modular, but about modularizing IBM's production process.
Yeah.
This paved the way for mass production and helped IBM to manage a more diverse product line.
Okay.
But System 360 was the real game changer.
Okay.
The first truly modular computer family.
So for researchers, this is a classic case study in how a seemingly like technical design choice can have these massive economic consequences.
Exactly. And with System 360, IBM could offer a range of computers with standardized interfaces, allowing customers to mix and match components.
Right.
Software became portable across models.
Yeah.
And it was a huge commercial success.
Huge success. But even within that success were the seeds of disruption for IBM.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they call the Faustian bargain of modularity.
Precisely because while System 360 solidified IBM's dominance,
right,
It also empowered other companies to specialize in specific modules. Suddenly you have companies like Intel focusing on microprocessors,
right.
Seagate on hard drives. They didn't need to build entire computers, just excel in their niche.
This is such a crucial point, you know, especially for folks that are working in platform ecosystems.
Yeah.
By opening up the architecture, you create opportunity, but also potential competition.
Yeah, and that competition often plays out in those hidden modules.
Yeah.
The components users don't interact with directly.
Right.
This is where companies can experiment rapidly.
Right.
Driving innovation that ultimately benefits users in the form of lower prices and better performance.
So for our PhD students out there, you know, this is a rich area for research.
Oh, yeah.
How does modularity affect the incentives for innovation within different parts of the ecosystem?
Yeah.
How does it impact the evolution of standards and the balance of power between platform owners and module makers?
These are fantastic questions. And Baldwin and Clark's work gives us the conceptual tools to start answering them. And that's where they introduce the concept of module operators.
Okay.
Actions that designers can take within a modular system to drive further innovation.
And we'll dive into those right after this.
So we were talking about how modularity really shifted the landscape of the computer industry, right? And it set the stage for this explosion of innovation.
Yeah.
And so Baldwin and Clark, they provide us with this framework.
Yeah. For understanding how designers can really leverage this power.
Okay.
Through what they call modular operators.
Okay. So these operators, it's almost like a set of tools for manipulating a modular system.
Yeah.
A way to actively drive its evolution.
Exactly.
What are some of the key ones that they highlight?
Well, one of the most fundamental is splitting.
Okay.
So it's this idea of taking an existing module and breaking it down into smaller, more specialized submodules.
Okay.
So imagine a company that makes a software suite.
Yeah.
They could split it into individual apps, each focused on a specific task.
Okay, so instead of having this one-size-fits-all solution, you get a more granular, adaptable system.
Right.
And this resonates with a lot of the trends we see in platform design today, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You think about how app stores have enabled this proliferation of specialized tools.
Yeah, and splitting allows for greater specialization and faster innovation within each submodule.
Okay.
Then they're substituting, replacing one module with another that performs the same function, but perhaps with better performance, lower cost, or new features.
Yeah, so this is like the classic upgrade cycle we see in tech.
Why, hey, yeah.
Like a faster processor, a new graphics card, a more efficient battery.
Yeah.
For platform researchers, this raises interesting questions about how modularity influences the pace of technological change.
Exactly. And substitution can drive competition between module makers, ultimately benefiting users.
Right. Okay, cool.
Then there's augmenting.
Okay.
Adding a new module to expand the system's functionality.
So it's like adding a plug-in to a software program or a new sensor to an IoT platform.
Exactly.
It's about extending the platform's capabilities without having to redesign the core.
Precisely.
Right.
And then the opposite of augmenting is excluding.
Okay.
Removing a module to simplify the system or tailor it to a specific use case.
Okay.
This could mean offering a stripped-down version of a product at a lower price point, or creating a specialized configuration for a particular industry.
Okay, so these first four operators, splitting, substituting, augmenting, and excluding, they all seem to focus on modifying the system by adding, removing, or changing modules.
Right.
What about the last two, inverting and porting? Those sound a little more complex.
They do, but they're equally important for understanding how modular systems evolve.
Okay.
Inverting involves taking a set of design rules that were previously implicit or scattered throughout the system and creating a separate module to embody them.
Okay, that sounds abstract. Can you give me a concrete example?
Sure. Think about the development of computer operating systems like Unix.
Okay.
Before, Unix operating system functionality was often intertwined with specific hardware.
Okay.
But Unix created a separate modular layer that could run on different hardware platforms, making it much more portable.
Okay. So inverting is about identifying those core rules and creating a standardized interface around them. For platform designers, this highlights the importance of clear governance structures and APIs that allow for interoperability.
Yes. And it's fascinating to think about how inverting can lead to the emergence of entirely new platforms built on top of existing ones.
Yeah.
Finally, we have porting,
okay,
which involves adapting a module designed for one system to work in another.
So this is like taking a software program and making it compatible with a different operating system or a new type of device.
Right, exactly.
It's only possible because modular designs have those clear boundaries and interfaces.
Right. Porting can significantly reduce development costs.
Yeah.
And accelerate the spread of innovation across different platforms and markets.
So these six modular operators, they provide a really powerful framework for thinking about how modular systems can be designed, manipulated, and evolved over time.
Yes.
But how do these concepts translate into, like, real-world competitive dynamics?
That's where Baldwin and Clark's analysis of the modular cluster becomes so insightful. They show how the rise of hidden module competition led to a fragmentation of the computer industry, with specialized firms competing within their respective niches.
Right. So IBM's attempt to maintain control over the entire system ultimately failed.
Right.
Because modularity had empowered those smaller players.
Exactly.
It's the classic example of how disruptive innovation often comes from the edges of an industry.
Yeah. And this shift from a single dominant firm to a more diverse, interconnected ecosystem had a profound impact on the pace of innovation.
For our listeners who are building or studying platforms, this raises a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah.
How do you balance the need for control with the desire to foster a thriving ecosystem?
Yeah.
How do you design a platform that encourages innovation without sacrificing quality or interoperability?
These are crucial questions, and they get to the heart of what makes platform governance so challenging.
Right.
But Baldwin and Clark give us a valuable framework for thinking through these issues. Their work reminds us that modularity isn't just a technical concept. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful economic force that can reshape entire industries.
And this is where Design Rules Volume 1 goes beyond a purely academic exercise and becomes a guide for understanding and navigating the real world of platforms.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in our deep dive into Design Rules Volume 1. We've explored how modularity works, its historical roots in the computer industry, and the powerful framework of modular operators.
Yeah.
But for our listeners who are maybe early career researchers or just starting to grapple with platform dynamics, what are some of the key takeaways? You know, why is this book still so relevant today, even decades after it was first published?
Yeah, I think one of the things that makes this book so enduring is that it gives us this language and a set of concepts for understanding how modularity shapes not just technology, but also economics competition and the very structure of industries. It's not just about what modularity is, but about how it works and what the implications are for anyone designing, building, or studying platforms.
For our PhD students out there who might be thinking about research topics, what are some of the areas where Baldwin and Clark's work opens up new avenues for exploration?
Oh, there are so many directions you could go. One area is the evolution of standards in modular ecosystems.
No.
How do standards emerge? Who gets to set them? And how do they shape the balance of power between platform owners and module makers? Another fascinating area is the impact of modularity on innovation.
Yeah.
Does it lead to faster innovation overall, or does it simply shift innovation to certain parts of the system?
In thinking about the real-world applications for our listeners who are working on platforms in various industries, what are some of the practical insights they can glean from design rules?
Well, one of the key things to remember is that modularity is a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It can unlock incredible innovation and create new opportunities, but it also requires careful management and a willingness to relinquish some control over the overall design.
Right. You can't just sprinkle modularity on a system and expect magic to happen. You have to think carefully about the boundaries between modules, the interfaces that connect them, and the rules that govern how they interact.
Exactly. And you have to be prepared for the possibility that modularity will empower new players and lead to a more fragmented competitive landscape.
Yeah.
This can be unsettling for established firms, but it's often the key to unlocking the full potential of a platform.
Baldwin and Clark's work also highlights the importance of understanding the economic forces at play in modular ecosystems.
Absolutely.
It's not just about technical design choices. It's about incentives competition and the dynamics of value creation and capture.
And this is where their analysis of hidden module competition and the modular cluster is so valuable.
Yes.
It helps us understand how modularity can shift the locus of innovation and create new opportunities for specialized firms.
So as we kind of wrap up our deep dives, I think it's safe to say that Design Rules, Volume 1, is more than just a book. It's a foundational text that has shaped the way we think about platforms and modularity. It's a must-read for anyone who wants to understand the forces that are shaping our increasingly interconnected world.
And its relevance only grows as we see modularity principles applied to new domains, from software and hardware to the design of organizations and even entire economies.
So for our listeners, whether you're a seasoned researcher or just starting your journey into the world of platforms, we encourage you to pick up Design Rules, Volume 1, and explore the rich insights it offers.
And remember, the journey doesn't end with reading the book. The real challenge is to apply these concepts to your own work, whether you're designing new platforms, researching their dynamics, or navigating the complex ecosystems they create.
That's it for our deep dive into the modular magic of Design Rules, Volume 1. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and a newfound appreciation for this powerful design principle. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep building.
Thank you for listening to Talking About Platforms. In this special series on platform classics, we use AI to review and present published research, with intellectual property remaining with the original authors. Our goal is to make these insights accessible and encourage you to dive deeper into the original works. Stay tuned for more episodes and keep exploring the fascinating world of platforms.